This is Morning Edition. The call for changing the names of 10 southern military bases is gaining momentum in Washington, and that raises the question of what names might replace those of the Confederate generals they now bear. Jay Price reports for WUNC's American Homefront Project.
When Larry Wright was stationed at Fort Bragg in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, the name of the base wasn't a big topic, even among black soldiers like him.
We didn't talk about it a lot, but we heard here and there that it was a Confederate general, and it was a confusion because we said, well, how did they get the name bases after generals that did not win the war?
Generals who were fighting for slavery and a war against the U.S. Army. But times have changed, and in a big way, and Wright, now a minister and Fayetteville City Council member, says Bragg and the other bases across the South need to reflect that. They don't all need to be renamed for black military heroes or prominent black leaders, but some should if they're going to bear the names of Americans.
There needs to be a diversity of names that are chosen that will reflect the country, reflect our communities in which we live, probably one of the most diverse countries in the world, and that would do us proud.
Joseph Gladhar, who teaches military history at UNC Chapel Hill, says Braxton Bragg was a poor namesake, even beyond the central issue that he fought against the U.S. to defend slavery. A slave owner in civilian life, he was tactically competent, but a terrible leader, cantankerous and widely hated by the men who served with him.
I wouldn't rank him. He wouldn't make a list. Unless you had to include, say, 500 or 300 or something. But if you asked me to give you the 10 best officers in the Confederate Army, he wouldn't be in there, or 20.
Part of the explanation is the general charged with approving names for new installations in the buildup for World War I sought short words to reduce the burden of paperwork. Picking new names now might not be as simple. Anthony Shore founded Operative Words, an agency that helps develop names for companies and products. He says professional name developers have to accept that people have subjective and sometimes idiosyncratic reactions to names.
So it may be that not every name could please every person. That is a possibility. But we certainly know that some paths are more likely to lead to a broader acceptance, and other paths are likely to diminish that broad acceptance.
Shore said the nation is in the middle of a sea change in which tolerance for racially insensitive names appears to be ending. He cited Quaker Oats' decision to change its Aunt Jemima brand. For the bases, he said good options could include people who never served in the military, but whose lives embodied shared American values. Or it may be more productive to move away from people's names entirely and instead think about ideals or attributes.
There's symbols of America that would likely be less divisive and less likely to have unsavory associations with their history. You know, we have the USS Constitution, for example. Could something like that also be applied to a military base? And then, of course, we have geography. Our country is home to countless places of inspiring and majestic natural beauty. And surely that could be a productive resource for names that every American could be proud of.
He said a good practice in naming things is to listen to all the key stakeholders and walk them through the implications of potential names.
Because when you're presenting names, what you're really doing is you're presenting potential futures. And so my job when I present names is to help everyone in the room see what that future might be if they go with any one of those names.
And for Southern military bases, the nation may be about to move into a new future. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.